to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. Let's look to the Lord again in prayer before we begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your eternal love for us. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us even when we were your enemies. Thank you, Lord, for this body of believers that you've raised up and that you've given them a heart, Lord, to know you and worship you and to serve you. We pray, Lord, that you would bless each one here today. We pray, Lord, that you would open hearts to see the wonder and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father, and that they would trust in you, Lord, and that you'd fill them with your Spirit, and that you would fill our hearts to overflowing, Lord, with joy and praise to you for your great grace to us. Please open our understanding to your word, and please glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, beginning of verse 1. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she shall receive from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, Cry out! And he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. Today we want to look at the first two verses there. Let me read those again. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. When the Lord began working in my life, I was about 10 years old. And he began showing me what a sinner I am. And so my response was, I tried to do better. I tried to not do the things I knew were wrong, and I tried to do the things I knew I should do. But I found I always failed. And I was very miserable. And I was miserable for a long time. I knew that I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't a believer. And whenever we would sing songs in church, for example, that would talk about being saved, I refused to sing them because I knew that I wasn't saved. But there was one song that I did like to sing that it really captured what I felt in my heart. It's Depth of Mercy. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But it goes like this. Depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God His wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. And that's really the way I felt. I felt like I was the chief of sinners. I felt like I was such a sinner, and no one could really understand, and no one was really as bad as me. And I didn't think anybody would understand if I tried to tell them how bad I felt. And I wondered, this question kept burning in my mind. I knew that Jesus Christ is the only one who could save me. But the question that burned in my mind is, was He willing to save me? Would He save me? And I think the first glimmer of hope that I got is, as I was reading through the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says there in chapter 11, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" And He said, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" And I knew that to receive the Holy Spirit is the same as being saved. That's part of being saved, is you receive God's Spirit to live in you and dwell in you forever. And so that was my first glimmer of hope, that God was willing to have mercy on me. But I went for a long time, always struggling with this. At times, I felt like I was doing better. And I felt like God was more pleased with me. And at other times, I would see how much I failed. And I thought God was angry with me. And I thought it at that time that maybe I haven't really believed. And so I was always struggling. Am I really a Christian or am I not? Well, the Lord has brought me to understand now the gospel. And that's what I want to share with you today, because I don't think I'm the only one that has ever been there and struggled. Am I really a Christian or not? And or is God willing to save me? Knowing how bad I am. We see here in our text, Isaiah 40, 1 and 2, we see the good news. God says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she shall receive from the Lord double for all her sins." The good news is a message of comfort. And it comes as comfort to those who are sinners. Not everyone sees the good news as good news. But if you're a sinner today, if you see that, then I have good news for you. I have words of comfort for you. Comfort from God. These are These are words of comfort from God Himself. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. God Himself says it. He has a message of comfort for you. He says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended. Now, this message was originally given to the Jews through this prophet Isaiah. And you'll see, as you read through Isaiah, you'll see there's a lot of a message of judgment upon Israel and Judah and upon all the nations. But here, God speaks words of comfort. He has good news for them. And there's good news for us too. He says, cry to her that her warfare is ended. Now, we shouldn't think of this as if, well, okay, Israel, you have suffered enough under God's judging hand, and now God's done judging you. He's going to have mercy on you. That's not the point here at all. That's not what he means by your warfare is ended. We all come into this world at war with God. We're all enemies of God. We're alienated from Him. There's a broken relationship there. We don't want anything to do with God. We're hiding from Him. And we live our lives as if there's no God at all. We live our lives depending on ourselves, looking to ourselves, trusting in ourselves. Whatever problem comes our way, we're going to try to find a solution for it. We've got to take care of ourselves. And if we're going to have any relationship to God at all, we've got to do what it takes to get there, to get back to God. So we're really at war with God. But the good news is the warfare's ended. God has declared peace. Peace for us, His enemies. It's not a ceasefire. It's not, okay, let's stop the fighting now and we'll sit down and we'll talk about this. No. God has declared peace. He said the warfare is ended. Our warfare with Him. He has declared peace. He has made peace through Jesus Christ. Now, we can come to God through Jesus Christ, and there will be peace. We can't work ourselves to God. We can't change ourselves and make ourselves more acceptable to God so that God will then say, okay, I'll accept you, I'll receive you with peace. No, God says to us, even though we are His enemies and we're at war with Him, He says, I am at peace with you. And we can come to God through Jesus Christ and know that God will receive us in peace. No question about it. No, am I really saved? Or will God really have mercy on me? Yes, He will. He says the war's ended. It's over. There's peace. David, Jesus Christ is our David. He's come and He has slain Goliath. That ended the war. He defeated Satan. He defeated the one who has kept us in bondage. Christ did. And that was the end of the war. That was it. He came and just like David defeated Goliath, and then all the Philistines ran, so Christ has come to defeat our enemies and to reconcile us to God so that we're no longer at enmity with Him. And those who are really our enemies are out of the way because Christ brings us peace. He came to Jerusalem in his triumphal entry. He comes riding on the donkey. He comes the conqueror. Jesus Christ came into this world as a conqueror. That's what God promised in the beginning. When Satan led us into bondage and unto sin, and Satan became the usurper of this world, God promised, I'm going to send a man who will defeat Satan. And the scripture says that's why Christ was manifested, so that he could destroy the works of the devil. And Christ came as a conqueror. He came, he took authority over nature. The winds and the waves obeyed him. As a man, he took authority over the elements of this world. As a man, he took authority over the beasts. He caused the fish to leap into the net of his disciples. He rode on an unbroken donkey's colt. He took authority over the animals. He took authority over our diseases. He conquered our diseases. He took authority over sin and conquered sin on the cross. And he conquered the curse. He did away with the curse as he died on the cross and rose again. And the scripture says in Colossians 2:15 that he also defeated Satan and all of his by his death and resurrection. It says that he made an open show of them. He rubbed it in their face. He conquered them. He stepped on them. He squashed them. He defeated our enemies. Jesus Christ is the conqueror. He's the one that puts an end to our warfare and gives us peace. And so God can say to us, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and tell her that her warfare is ended. You who don't want anything to do with God. And I'm sure that some of you, it's because you're afraid of God. You're afraid that God really wouldn't receive you knowing who you are. Knowing all your sins, you think, there's no way God would accept me. But God says, no, come. Your warfare is ended. And He says, and tell her that her iniquity is pardoned. That's the message of the gospel, is that our iniquities are pardoned. That God has made a way for us to come to Him, and He will receive us. And He does it all freely and justly. There's a twofold pardon that we have in Scripture. And we speak of the theological term is forensic justification. Basically, that means that what the law says against us because of our sins, Christ has freed us from the curse of the law, so that the law can no longer charge us. That's forensic justification. God has put away our sins. And Christ hasn't only taken away our sins so that God's no longer holding them against us, but Christ has given us a positive righteousness 1 Corinthians 1 says that He is, that Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ is our righteousness. You can come to God right now and God will receive you, not because you've been good, but because Jesus has been good. And God gives you the righteousness of Christ so that you are perfectly righteous in God's sight. That's not, it's not just a, well, I'm not going to punish you for your sins. No, we have a real positive righteousness so that when God sees us in Christ, He sees us as if we were as righteous as Christ. That all of the good works that Christ did, as if we did them. All of His obedience to the Father, as if we did them. All of His love for God and love for His fellow man, as if we did that. That's the way God looks at us in Christ. He pardons our iniquity. But there's another side too, and that is the relational. Sometimes we focus so much on the legal that we miss the relational. We were alienated from God. But now God, Christ has brought reconciliation. Reconcile. That's what you do with enemies. You bring them together so that they're friends now. And if you know that you are an enemy of God, you can come to God right now. And God will receive you as a friend. And more than a friend, as a son. He will take you as His sons. Through Christ. Look with me at Romans chapter 5. When we talk about what Christ has done for us, we often talk about that legal. And we use words like justification and sin and righteousness and the law. But not only have we broken God's law, but we have made a personal offense against Him. And that's why we were alienated from God. By our sin, there's an offense, a personal affront to Him. But look at what God says in Romans 5, verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 10. Well, I'll just go back to 8. But God demonstrates His love to us in while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So you don't have to wonder, Is God going to have mercy on me? Will God receive me? Will He still be angry with me? No! Because Christ has reconciled you to God. God will receive you as His friend. He will take you. That affront is gone. Christ took it out of the way. He didn't just satisfy the law. He satisfied that personal affront. And He's reconciled us to God. And He says, when we were enemies. Imagine that. When we were His enemies, He reconciled us. And He says, how much more now? Now that we have been reconciled, are we going to be saved? That should comfort you, believer. That you since you've already been reconciled, God's going to receive you. You're going to be saved. There's nothing that's ever going to stand between you and God anymore. What's going to stand in your way? Your sin? It's gone. God's wrath? It's gone. Christ has made an end to it. He's declared peace. He's reconciled us to God. He's taken away our iniquities. Our iniquities have been pardoned. Look at Isaiah 44. Remember these, I'm sorry, verse 21, Isaiah 44, 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Bring forth, or break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Look at that. He says, I've blotted out your sins. Now come to me. Return to me. That's the message of the gospel. It's not, if you change your ways, I'll receive you. No, it's, I've done everything that's needful. I've taken everything out of the way that stands between you and me. Now come to me. Return to me. That's the good news. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. But wait, it gets better. He goes on, he says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she shall receive, or she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now sometimes this sort of language, receiving double, speaks of double judgment for their sin. But that's not what he's talking about here. Here he's talking about double blessing. She shall receive double blessing for all her sins. That's just like Romans 5:20. Where sin abounded, where our sins abounded, God's grace abounded much more. It's superabounded. God is not stingy with His grace. No, He's overflowing with joy and with love, even for sinners, such as we are. He is the God of all grace. He is full of mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. He rejoices in mercy. He delights to receive sinners unto Himself. We're not saved by the skin of our teeth. No, we're saved with great abundance. God is a prodigal God. And prodigal means extravagant, overspendy. That's what it means. And that's what God is with His grace. He showers, He gives us double for all of our sins. Not double in judgment, but double in blessing. And this shows that He takes away all of our sins. All of our sins. That's past, present, and future. Christ has taken them all out of the way. Look at Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, verse 17. Indeed, it was for my own peace that I had great bitterness, but you have lovingly delivered my soul from the pit of corruption, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. Turn to the prophet Micah. Micah chapter 7. Verses 18 through 20. Micah 7, 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He does not retain His anger forever. Because He delights in mercy, He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. He will cast all our sins in the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. And in 1 John, we read that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. God has taken away everything that stands between us and Him so that any of us may come to Him freely through Jesus Christ. You can come to Him. If you come to God now and you say, Lord, You've promised that You'll receive me because of Jesus, because Jesus took all my sins away, because Jesus has reconciled me to You, because Jesus has given me His righteousness. You said, You've promised in Your Word that You'll receive me, and He will receive you. There's nothing that holds you back. Come to Him. Trust in Jesus, and God will receive you. And you don't have to wonder. You don't have to ask, will God have mercy on me? Believe His Word. He will, because of Jesus. And He'll not only will He receive you, but He will make you His son. You'll receive all of the blessings of God. You'll receive eternal life. You'll receive joy and comfort and peace. You'll receive the Holy Spirit to live in you continually. And to keep you, to preserve you unto the end till Christ returns. And you'll have all the blessings of the new creation through Jesus Christ. God gives those all to us freely. We're not under a law where if we keep up a certain level of righteousness, then God will continue to receive us. But if we mess up, then God's going to cast us off? No! That's not the gospel. That's not the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news is that when God makes you His, you are His forever! Period. End of story. You're His. All your sins are gone. And so now you don't have to be afraid. You can come to God. You can confess your sins. You know, we don't confess wondering, is God going to forgive me of this? No, we confess knowing that He will. And that's why we come. The Scripture says that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And we read that verse earlier when God says, I've blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions. Return unto me. Let nothing hold you back. Come to God now. Rejoice in Him. Trust in Him. And be reconciled to God. Be comforted by the gospel. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your great mercy to us. Lord, we're amazed that you would have mercy on sinners such as we are. But Lord, your grace is so amazing that it goes beyond even our sins. And our sins could not dim your joy or hinder your desire to know us and to have us for your children. Thank you, Lord, that you are such a great God and you would not let anything stand between us and you. Thank you, Lord, that you've made us your own. And we pray, Lord, for those here who may be seemingly teetering on the edge, seemingly stuck between heaven and hell, wondering, wishing to be your child, but seeing their own sins and afraid to come to you. Lord, we pray that you would quiet their fears, that you would draw them to yourself, that you would show them what you've done for them through Christ, and fill their souls with joy and worship to you, Lord, for your great grace, and make them, Lord, your powerful witnesses to tell others how they also might come to know you and be reconciled to you through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you loved us enough to be cast off so that we could be received, to be punished so that we could be blessed, to be rejected so that we might be accepted and be made sons. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to keep you always in our sight and to look to you and not to ourselves, to trust in you and to rejoice in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.